From the University of Alaska and College, this is your university. Did you ever wonder just how fossils of early tropical plants came to be found in northern parts of Alaska's Arctic Brooks Range? Or how, looking at a map, the curved east coastline of South America seems to fit nicely right into the curved west coast of Africa, like in a jigsaw puzzle? Or a little closer to home, how the straight northwest Arctic coast of Alaska seems to fit in nicely with a section of coast along southeastern Siberia. It's almost a known fact that millions of years ago, the Earth's continents were shaped and probably located far differently from their present shapes and locations. A scientific jigsaw puzzle with the Earth's continents is being studied in key research institutes around the world. At the University of Alaska, a recent $81,000 National Science Foundation grant will allow Dr. David Stone, a quiet Englishman-turned-Alaskan in the University of Alaska's Geophysical Institute, to research his theory that Alaska has gradually, over millions of years, been moving away from Siberia. The story of Dr. Stone's research is our story today on This Is Your University. You've probably never heard of Laurasia, or Gondwanaland, or the continent of Pangaea. If you have, you're a paleomagnetic research scientist like Dr. David Stone. Man knows today that the Earth's continents are made of different material than the ocean's floor, and that the continents float around on the Earth's crust like a spot of oil floating on the surface of water. The floating process, Dr. Stone explains, takes hundreds of millions of years. But with a little sophisticated compass work, scientists have been able to plot what they feel to be the rough movements of continents through eons of time. One theory fits Africa and South America, Europe and Asia, all together in one huge supercontinent about 600 million years ago. Scientists named the supercontinent Pangaea. About 450 million years ago, according to the theory, Pangaea broke apart into two smaller continents, since named Laurasia and Gondwanaland. These two later split into the continents as they are known today, so the theory goes. Dr. Stone's theory that Alaska was once adjacent to southeastern Siberia, if shown probable through the geophysicist paleomagnetic research in the next 2 to 3 years, will add considerably to the scientific knowledge of continental movements. Previous theories of continental drift show Alaska and Siberia far apart in the early supercontinents of Pangaea, Laurasia, and Gondwanaland. But much geologic evidence suggests that Alaska and Siberia were once joined, Dr. Stone says, and that a twisting movement away from Siberia over millions of years would explain some peculiar geologic phenomena found in Alaska. For instance, why do Alaska's two parallel mountain ranges, the Alaska Range and the Brooks, tend to curve? And why in the Arctic does the Brooks Range abruptly end, as if in a wall, and the flat plain of Arctic tundra suddenly begin? A sliding, turning movement along what geologists call the Brooks Megashear, a huge fault in the Earth's surface through northern Alaska and the Bering Sea, would have broken a chunk of flat tundra away from Siberia, also tundra, and added it to the main Alaska landmass sliding along the Megashear. The original starting point would have been along southeastern Siberia, and the twisting motion as Alaska drifted away would have created the curved string of the Aleutian Islands, another unexplained phenomenon. To gather evidence for his theory, Dr. Stone will travel across Alaska in the next 2 to 3 years, gathering rock samples from the Aleutian Islands through the Brooks Range and plotting the landmass movement. Through laboratory analysis of weak magnetic fields still held in the mineral rock, Stone will be able to detect any movement of the Alaska landmass. Although a fascinating study, such tracking of the Earth's continents is only one of many projects underway in the University of Alaska's growing research complex, a center of northern study that each year brings renown for new findings and developments to your university. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the Department of News Service at the University of Alaska in cooperation with University Radio Station KUAC. This has been Charles Northrup substituting for Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service.
From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. In the commercial fishing areas of New England, the Pacific Northwest, and southeastern Alaska, families have lived for generations on the edge of the sea. They draw their livelihood from the depths, with each father passing to his sons traditional skills, knowledge, and wisdom necessary to survive and live from the products of unpredictable fish runs and storm-tossed seas. But today, what many interpret as part of an American technical revolution is breaking up this traditional transfer of skills and knowledge in historic fishing families. The result is a loss of trained skills and an influx of new untrained people into an industry growing vastly more complicated in today's space age technology. This loss of skill is threatening the stability of commercial fishing as an industry. New training programs introduced by the University of Alaska in recent years are helping to soften the effects of a transition in the industry and are paving the way toward possible solutions. The story of these programs and an entirely new course of study in fishery technology is our story today on This Is Your University. There was an old saying in farming communities, Jack Doyle points out, that once they've seen the lights of the city, you'll never get them back on the farm. Well, the same idea may apply today to the traditional family fishing industries of New England and now southeastern Alaska. Like the farm communities, young men are being drained away from fishing into other fields of modern industry and commerce. Doyle, a fisheries extension instructor for the University of Alaska, points out that even the romantic lure of the sea doesn't seem to be enough to keep long-time fishing families and their years of wisdom and skill in the industry. Another kind of commercial fisherman, however, has happened on the Alaska scene. A part-time fisherman who fishes only during the big runs, he hopes for fast financial gain and is largely untrained and without real knowledge of fish, the sea, boats, and fishing gear. Since 1963, the university's Fisheries Extension Program, operating as part of the Department of Statewide Services, has been conducting short courses in practical fishing technology in large and small communities scattered along the Alaska coast. Both old and new fishermen have things to learn from the courses, Doyle points out. With new technical advances in marine research, fishermen using old traditional methods learn new, more economical fishing processes with modern gear and scientific methods. Response to the short courses has been impressive, he says. 50 to 60 fishermen crowd into classrooms in small villages having only 200 to 300 residents. 2 4-hour class sessions per day with two groups in shifts often make for a rugged schedule for an instructor. But Doyle, a commercial fisherman himself, enjoys his work. He points proudly to a measure of the program's popularity. Villages and communities often request fishery technology courses a second time for men who missed the first program. Enrollment is usually doubled in the second go-round. Many who went through the earlier classes come back to sit through the second course. This fall, the university's Board of Regents approved a new program that in the future will greatly expand fishery technology. A 3-year course will lead to an associate degree. Principal training centers will operate from community college facilities. Ketchikan and Kodiak are expected to be the first sites for the program. The program will increase the university's present services in providing training in modern fishery techniques and equipment for Alaska's commercial fishermen. It's another step, as Doyle points out, toward realization of a major goal, full service to the growing education and research needs of Alaska's people, provided by your university. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the Department of News Service at the University of Alaska in cooperation with the University radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting System. University of Alaska at College, this is your university. Sometimes it just pays to get an education, even for cows. The University of Alaska's Agricultural Experiment Station has been notified by the Holstein-Friesian Dairy Association of America that the top three milk-producing cows in Alaska are at the U of A farm. The champion, a cow with the unlikely name of Alaska Double Best Pride 5888-6562, produced over 16,400 pounds, or nearly 8,000 quarts of milk last year. That's almost double the national dairy average, Dr. Horace Drury, director of the station, points out. Double Best belongs to an experimental dairy herd of some 30 animals. Experiments on the college dairy herd, as well as a wide-ranging experimental program in general agriculture, are the prime functions of the two farms maintained by the university. The experiment stations, established in 1907, are helping to find the answers to difficult problems farmers and dairymen face in the far northern Alaska. The story of the university farms and their educated cows is our story today on This Is Your University. Cows that stay out in cold weather all through the long interior Alaska winter are generally found to be fatter, healthier, and happier than cows who sit out the winter in warm, comfortable barns. This surprising fact is one result of a recent study carried out by the U of A's College Experimental Farm. It doesn't necessarily mean, however, that dairymen should begin tearing down their barns. The study also discovered that the outdoor cows generally produced about 10% less milk than the barn cows. A fact that kind of destroys the myth about contented cows producing more milk. Dairy production, however, isn't the only thing being studied at the agricultural experimental stations on the university farms. At the Matanuska farm near Palmer, a project called Finding the Value of Alaska Forage Materials is doing just that. Animal food crops such as grass, oats, and peas are raised in a natural condition. After experimental cuttings at different times throughout the summer, the crops are fed to controlled groups of animals. It's been a long-known fact that the long summer days in Alaska have peculiar effects on the state's plant life, producing foods such as giant cabbages and tomatoes. Whether the constant sunshine adds or detracts from nutritional value, an important thing for Alaska farmers as well as for consumers to know is also being studied. Cuttings at different times during the summer determine if food value is retained when crops are harvested in early, middle, or late summer. Another program deals with one more critical problem Alaska farmers face, the fact that moisture in crops is so high through the northern summer that in order for the nutrition to be retained for feeding livestock, the grains have to be artificially dried through an expensive mechanical process. Agricultural researchers at the university farms are feeding small amounts of fermented barley to control groups of animals to determine if the barley can be helpful. When moisture stays in a grain crop after cutting, the plant will ferment in storage. If the effects on animals can be judged as non-harmful, farmers will know they can feed portions of the fermented grain mixed with dry grain without hurting productions. Not having to dry all the grain crops then will save the farmer more than a few dollars. Another experiment being conducted by the agricultural station looks at the age-old argument between dairy cattlemen and beef cattlemen who for centuries have argued the respective merits of their fields. A research program with beef from dairy animals is being carried out with meat products on sale at Alaska supermarkets. The results could determine if one type cow, well adapted to the rigorous Alaska climate, could serve the dual needs of Alaska consumers. In a modern age of space satellites and supersized jet transports that will soon move vast cargoes fast and cheaply between continents, Alaska farmers are facing stiff competition from food products imported from outside the state. It costs a lot to farm in Alaska, a land of high prices and high wages which farmers must pay. Through recent technical advances in the transportation industry, shippers can now transport bulk foodstuffs to Alaska cheaper than ever before. Yet the cost of operating a farm in the Northland seems to be going higher every year. The obvious answers to some of these difficult questions, university farm scientists are pointing out, is to find better, more efficient operating techniques for local farmers. New methods that will mean more production and less cost. And this is what the agricultural experimental farms are all about. Laboratories for development, operated by your university. This is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the Department of News Service at the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting System. From the University of Alaska at College, this is Your University. Dick and Jane won't be throwing the ball to Spot much longer in Alaska's rural elementary schools. Traditional primary readers of the Dick and Jane type that have introduced millions of American schoolchildren to the wonderful world of reading and writing, books and literature, have always been a little out of place in rural Alaska village schools. Dick and Jane, Spot, big red fire engines, and strange four-legged creatures called cows only complicate things for Alaska's village youngsters in learning to read and write. At the University of Alaska, an experimental new series of educational teaching aids designed for village children in outlying areas is under development in the Alaska Rural School Project. This story of pioneering new tools for educating village youngsters is our story today on This Is Your University. It's a complicated, fast-paced world of sudden technological change, of high-soaring spacecraft and intercontinental ballistic missiles young people grow up in today. What about Eskimo and Indian children growing up in tiny villages scattered through Alaska's wilderness? With their parents still hunting and fishing for food in a way of life that has remained unchanged for thousands of years, they must try and adapt successfully in one generation to a complex technical society. Education in the ways and means of modern technical man seems the only way to successfully bridge this gap. In hundreds of tiny one-room village schools scattered across the Northland, dedicated and highly motivated elementary school teachers of the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the state of Alaska are waging a desperate battle against time to try and prepare their young Indian and Eskimo students for the long jump across the culture gap. A key problem in helping village youngsters to do this is an acute lack of appropriate educational aids for teachers to use in class. Primer readers, picture cards, things that can help youngsters visualize what the teacher is trying to say. Educational aids that are in use today are appropriate for children in Dallas, New Orleans, Chicago, but not for Alaska. The university's Rural School Project, backed by a grant in 1966 from the Ford Foundation, is helping develop a new series of experimental aids for rural teachers in the state. Instead of discussing Dick and Jane's activities in metropolitan cities, new primer readers under development emphasize Alaska children engaged in village activities familiar to children in the bush. Native children in rural schools of the state enter school with vocabulary, language problems, Cultural background and skills different from children in the lower 48, Mrs. Winifred Land, director of the Rural School Project, points out. The school bus, zoo, and city traffic are unfamiliar to these children, she says. As typical subjects of beginning reading materials, they cause the children unnecessary difficulties in learning to read. In addition to the special Alaska readers being developed, Mrs. Land and her staff are developing other teaching aids, such as records children can listen to while learning a language foreign to many of them, English. The university's Rural School Project also serves another critical need of Alaska educators, the problem of getting quality teachers adequately trained in the special needs of rural village children. Each summer, the project conducts summer institutes for training new teachers fresh from the lower 48 states who are headed for assignments in remote village schools. At the U of A's 8-week summer session, these teachers attend special classes in language training, anthropology, health, and community services. What we have to do, Mrs. Land says, is first teach children an awareness of their immediate surroundings, and then an awareness of things they cannot see, the different kind of world beyond the mountains around their village. It's a difficult task, she says, and our job here is to provide a special kind of teacher equipped with special kinds of education aids. After all, we're dealing with a special kind of child, she says. The particular kind of training and development underway at the university's Rural School Project is just one of many services and purposes served, all of them special, in your university. This is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the Department of News Service at the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting System.
From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. One of the unusual facets of life in Alaska is just how hungry Alaskans seem for communication. Not just contact with the lower states, but communication among themselves as well. Nowhere is this reflected more than in Alaska's vigorous newspaper business. Alaska's 270,000 people now read 6 daily newspapers, a number of weeklies, biweeklies, and triweeklies, and a multitude of smaller mimeographed newspapers and newsletters radiating from villages, towns, and cities around the state. It seems as if there wouldn't be enough readers for all of these newspapers, much less enough of the bread and butter of the business, advertising. On the contrary, though, most of Alaska's newspapers enjoy a prosperous life with small but enthusiastic readerships and high levels of advertising. At the University of Alaska, a fast-growing journalism department is keeping pace with the mushrooming needs of the state's communications industry. Students write, edit, and lay out their own newspaper, the Polar Star, as a working laboratory in journalism. There's no better way to learn the business than by doing, they feel. The story of that learning by doing is our story today on This Is Your University. Tom Steers, editor of the Polar Star, walks rather hurriedly around the campus these days. His eyes seem a little red from late nights over the copy desk in the Polar Star offices. Running a newspaper can be a big responsibility, and Tom's responsibility doubled early this fall when the Polar Star switched from a once-a-week to a twice-a-week publication. Student editors and reporters now produce the Polar Star Wednesdays and Sundays. Each issue is filled with lively news and feature accounts of what's happening around the campus. In addition, this year, the Polar Star carries Associated Press briefs taken from AP teletype machines in the newspaper office. The AP copy gives campus readers a balanced world news roundup. Social comment columns and cartoon strips also have been added, giving the newspaper depth and perspective. Although the Polar Star is theoretically separate from the Department of Journalism, in practice the two work closely together. Students in journalism classes are assigned beat stories to cover, and after being graded in class, the stories are edited and used in the Polar Star. Beginning and advanced photography students are assigned freelance picture assignments, covering basketball games, dances, and other campus events, and are paid for their efforts. The circulation of the newspaper isn't confined to the campus. Since last year, copies of the Polar Star have been in newsstands in downtown Fairbanks. The off-campus circulation is an outgrowth of early experimental programs that at one time even had the Polar Star selling in Anchorage, Juneau, Kodiak, and Nome. Although the number of copies distributed elsewhere than on campus is small, this circulation gives the student staff experience in handling outside newspaper circulation, as well as giving advertisers a little more for their money. The newspaper has developed a small, dedicated readership around Fairbanks. As Editor Steers points out, people are interested in what's going on around the campus. Many of them have children attending classes, or they went to the university themselves. Technically, the student newspaper staff's responsibility doesn't end with typed stories and penciled-out layout pages. 2 years ago, the Associated Students of the University of Alaska, the student government body that owns the Polar Star, authorized the purchase of special typesetting equipment. This would enable the Polar Star staff to prepare camera-ready pages for offset printing. Where once the student's job ended and the printers began, now Polar Star typesetters work in part-time jobs that not only provide income for students working their way through school, but also enable the newspaper to cut printing costs by 50%. In this manner, students have been able not only to make the Polar Star pay for itself, but also show a little profit which can be used for the purchase of more equipment. It's all part of that learning by doing, of course, a valuable part of the function of serving the needs and demands of a growing Alaska at your university. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the Department of News Service at the University of Alaska in cooperation with University Radio Station KUAC. This is Charles Northrup sitting in for Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting System.